Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show, coming to you from the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater, with myself, Brad Williams, and over there, the better looking in a collared purple shirt. Woo, you fancy today, Adam Ray.
Wearing my favorite purple shirt.
Wow. See, like, now you're trying to pull off, like, the black preacher thing, and I think it's working for you. I think, like, it's almost like in Eddie Murphy, James Brown.
Yeah.
Hot tub. Get in the hot.
Like, dude, purple is starting to become one of my favorite colors. Although, like, dark purple like this. Like, bright purple, it's like, hello.
Hi.
It's a little bit lighter purple.
Hi.
Yo, the theme song, and mm-hmm. I'm, you know, obviously a little biased, but it's really putting me in a good mood.
It really
that,
does.
Right? It's a good. I mean,
I think it's working.
Yes,
it's good.
I mean, obviously, I think you I mean, shit. You write your jokes. You tell them. You're like, yeah,
sure.
I like my. Like, I'm sure Prince didn't write Purple Rain and go, I mean, it's okay. Well, by the way, that's not how Prince sounds at all.
I believe that was okay. Well, he's like a gay Morgan Freeman. What? I just realized doing a Prince impression.
I wish I could tell you Purple Rain was. I wish I could tell you Purple Rain was not written while Ed and I hop.
Gay Prince, gay Morgan Freeman.
Gay
is
Morgan
Prince.
Freeman is a Prince impression.
Wow, tweet Brad or me at Funny Brad at Adam Ray Comedy. Prince equals gay Morgan Freeman.
He really does. Listen to Prince again. And see if you can get some.
What is this?
Is Purple Rain?
Wait, when the doves fly?
Or when the doves cry?
When the doves cry.
This is what it sounds like. You know what I mean? Just like
when
a slightly.
But
slightly
see, that's why
Morgan
Prince
Freeman.
Is Prince and I'm not Prince because
right.
I go. If I would have written the song, it would have been When the Doves Fly, because that's an obvious choice.
Right, because doves fly.
Because they've got
that's
wings.
What they do.
Although, maybe it's When Dove Cries, and it's like, Dove David.
Dove David off.
Titties. You ever know you're walking in a coffee shop, and it's like, you gonna, the guy's like, can I get a medium coffee? He goes, it's a grande.
You know, it was medium until you guys came along, and the only way I'm using the word grande is if a Mexican pimp asked me what kind of titties I like.
That's a Dove Davidoff impression, everybody.
When the dove cries.
When the dove cries.
Dude, somebody's got to spoof that. All right. So this is Gay Morgan Freeman.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Is that really how the song starts? He's taking a shit?
I think it does.
He's like, no.
How long is the intro? Like 3.5 minutes?
I was in Shawshank Redemption, and I played God and Bruce Almighty.
I mean, this is like maybe young Morgan Freeman.
Maybe, yeah, maybe younger.
Daisy.
Maybe a little like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. All right, that's enough of that, Dick.
Well, you know what? I'm very happy because not only did our theme song put me in a good mood, that put me in a good mood. I needed that.
I needed that too.
You and I both.
I think I had something just happen really quickly that I just like to get off my chest. I don't know what the protocol is for mm-hmm. speaking up to strangers when you blatantly see them not wash their hands leaving a bathroom situation,
sure.
Especially when you're leaving a stall. Like,
oh well, that because
sometimes,
yeah.
Man, if you pee hands free,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, I mean, I can see why. And if you're in a hurry,
maybe you're in a hurry.
Maybe you can't take fucking 4 to 7 seconds to antibacterial your body and protect others from. But dude, coming out of the stall, unless you also hands-free wipe and you have some sort of like.
Maybe Prince comes out of your pants and then he wipes.
One can only hope.
This is what it sounds like when Prince wipes your ass.
All right. So I see this dude come out of the stall,
yeah.
Walk a beeline straight to the door. I'm at the sink washing my hands like a decent human being.
Sure.
And, dude, he just walks right by, and I just go, gross, dude, gross. Because he's just leaving.
Yeah.
He's not washing the hands.
Sure. And there was nobody else there. So I'm like, all right, he should know that I'm directing this towards him and his behavior in leaving a stall and not cleaning his hands that he clearly used to shove up his ass.
Right. Wait, you shove your hands up your ass?
Hey, man, I don't know how you wipe. Well, I shove my hand up my ass.
Well, my hands are tiny. I can barely reach the fucker.
Hey, I shove it up my ass, pleasure myself, and then wipe.
Yeah. Hey, man, good for you.
Hey.
Come out smiling.
We were all raised differently, so let's just let bygones be bygones.
So how did he respond?
So he turns around and goes, I'm sorry. And I go, saw you leave the stall and not wash. That's gross. Yeah. He goes, mind your fucking business.
Well, you know what? Adam Ray,
walks out.
You're trying to be a good Samaritan.
Yeah, I think
you're trying to prevent outbreak and contagion from happening in real life. You're a good person.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like, hey, I want to spread my fecal matter all over the place. My mom told me my shit don't stink. You know what I mean?
Literally.
It's good.
Yo, but what's the protocol for, do you stop and go, hey, excuse me?
Thank you.
Wow. We're turning to Howard Stern all of a sudden. Oh, Jesus.
Depressing dick.
Jesus, dick with the fart noises. But look at us giggle like five-year-olds.
I know.
Hey, dude, if farts ever become not funny to me.
Kill me.
Yeah, kill me. Yeah, I don't want to be around.
Exactly. I'm still laughing.
All right, no more. You son of a bitch. Dude, that's...
But you see...
But, like, what are you supposed to do? Am I supposed to stop and go, hey, excuse me, I noticed you were leaving the stall, probably defecating, post-defecation.
Right.
And I was curious upon the fact that you did not put any sort of antibacterial lotion upon your fingers and limbs that were used to take paper and swab your rectum sides.
Yeah. Now, granted, we're not all Howie Mandel, and we don't all require the fist bump instead of the handshake, but because I do like to shake hands, I do like... You know, interpersonal communication, interaction. Yeah, wash your fucking hands.
No, it's also he could be going to eat. Like you'd really want to. You really want to pick up chicken fingers when you've got poop fingers?
He could be going to finger bang a girl, and you're saving her.
Wow, I mean that's the extreme.
You're saving her.
That's the extreme example.
That girl owes you a chance to finger bang her now because at least you have clean hands.
That's disgusting. All right.
I think it's
mandatory. I felt bad for a moment, but now I don't because it was like, dude, what, you know, and then you raise the question.
You're doing
like,
your part.
Yeah, I'm just trying to contribute to society. I'm trying to pay it forward.
Absolutely. Well, and this is something that kind of, I mean, you're doing the right thing. Like, you're calling out a guy for not washing his hands in a toilet. There's no way that the other dude is in the right. Yeah. Like, hey, you didn't wash your hands after you fucking shit on him.
Yeah, mind your business. Well, dude, this is everyone's business.
Because
your hands are going to be... now, dude, you take your poop hands to somebody else's... You shake somebody with poop hands, it's their business.
Yeah.
So guess what? My business is their... Because you could be shaking the hand of a friend of mine. And then they're going to shake my hand.
Exactly.
And now I got poop hands. And guess what, man?
Timing, Dick. Timing.
Anyway.
But like,
dude, if we don't stop this conversation, it's going to be 45 minutes of poop hands and dick inserted fart noises.
It is. But like, mind your business. Like, if you see a sign that says stay off the grass and some guy is standing on the grass and you say, hey, man, sign says stay off the grass. Okay, mind your business there.
Yeah. Or on the airplane. When I have my phone out and I'm trying to finish an email and dude sitting next to me will go... and shake their head, or which I've had happen, look at me and go, hey, man, she said turn your phone off.
Yeah.
I always go, you're right, and I shut it off because, that you know.
You don't want a conflict.
You don't want conflict. One time, though, I did say, I got to finish this email, man. And the guy goes, yeah, you got to turn it off. And so I just was like, not going to deal with it. And that time, you know, it's like, yeah, it is your business because people think the phone is actually going to take the plane down.
Right,
which
would, no. But speaking of planes.
Yeah, didn't you just get in a fight?
Well, not exactly. My fight was last week, which, by the way...
that was incredible.
Thank you for your tweets about that. And the front porch, the bar where the fight actually took place, actually sent me a tweet saying, hey, thanks for the shout-out.
Dude.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's appropriate. But this morning, I was flying home from Norfolk, Virginia. Be careful, say that
Watch
correctly.
Your language.
Exactly. My flight's at 5:15 in the morning because I got to get back here for this exquisite podcast.
Look at you, man.
You know, taking some initiative.
Dedication.
So I'm getting there about 4:15, 4 o'clock, and I'm getting to the security part where you have to show your ID and your boarding pass.
Okay.
I do that. The woman looks at me, TSA agent, and says, I can't let you pass here. I can't let you through. I say, like some, I say,
like some troll at a bridge?
Yeah.
You shall not pass.
She's fucking busting out the Gandalf staff. You shall not pass. Ha! But like she does this, and immediately thoughts are, okay, did someone stick weed in my bag?
Yeah.
What's happening here? Am I flagged? Like, did I do something? Do I have the same name as a terrorist? Like, what's happening?
Right. Did a dwarf in a different part of the country just commit some heinous crime and you happen
right.
to look like them?
Sure. All understandable. So I go, like, what's the deal? What's the problem? He says, oh, well, she says, you can't board the plane with a nickname on your ticket rather than the name that's on your ID.
Dude, why are you walking into airports with the nickname Big Juicy Dwarf Cop? You gotta stop that. I told you. Dude, I told you.
I gotta stop booking tickets under Big Juicy Dwarf Cock. But see, that's what you would assume when you hear nickname, right? When you hear nickname, you think...
BJDD.
Yeah.
BJDC.
Yeah. BJDC. Big Juicy Dwarf Cock. Like, you know, you think of that. You think of Skeeter, Champ, Sport, something like that. No. I'm like, what the fuck is on my ticket? I pull on my ticket. It says Brad. My ID says my full real name, Bradley, and Brad is considered a nickname.
Are you kidding me?
I'm fucking not kidding.
So and she wouldn't let you on?
She's like, no, I can't let you pass because this could be an alias. Really? An alias?
Wow, when is...
Is the Brad Bomber out there?
Yo, no.
Well, they call me that in college, but for a completely different reason. But
and guess what?
Come on.
And a guy named Richard, who has Dick on his ticket, walks right by you. And
yeah.
She's like, hi, Dick. He's like, hey, pussy. And then he walks in. She's like, my name's Victoria. People call me pussy. Anyways, let's talk about you.
And unbelievable. So
that's bullshit.
But at the same time, it's TSA, so you don't want to cause a huge scene.
No, you raise your voice to TSA. Immediately, five other TSA agents now looking in your direction. And even though you haven't even hinted towards bomb or drugs.
Right.
Or
in the room and a glove is up your butt.
Or BJDC. Because that's also a federal offense. Having too juicy of a DC. Yeah, you can't instigate any sort of altercation.
So I just look at the woman and I say, lady, I get that when you give people trouble, oftentimes they'll say to you, like, do you realize how often I'm here? Do you realize how much I fly? And it's really not. They fly like twice every couple months.
Yeah.
I literally fly every week.
Yeah, you do.
Literally.
You do.
And I've been doing that for almost 10 years. I've never had this happen before, so... You know that Brad is just an abbreviation for Bradley. It's not.
Yeah.
I'm not going on there.
Which, by the way, I guess you can look at it on the flip side, like that's a nice sort of streak you've got of not having flying for 10 years. Like you haven't had a ton of shitty things, problems. But I guess that's more reason to be like, yo. Now, are you at a certain level with each airline to where, like, they should – because I feel like if you're at, like, a certain status,
they should look at that and be like,
I can't give this guy any shit for anything.
No, and I am. I'm literally on, like, platinum status for all the damn airlines. But it's – this goes back to something that my dad actually taught me a long time ago.
Can we get some sentimental music, please?
Can we get some sentimental music for the wisdom of Papa Williams?
Papa Williams. Papa Williams.
What the shit?
Dude, what are you doing over there while we're doing the show, you sick pervert?
Were you watching, like, ludicrous porn?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
That's
okay.
Yo, sentimental music.
Do Cats in the Cradle.
Instrumental?
Because that's like that's like a father-son.
Is that Cat Stevens?
Yeah, it's somebody. I don't know. It's
Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Moon.
Yeah, that one.
Little boy blue and the man on the moon. Or Carole King.
Bust that one out.
Or Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams. Get into my car. Kind of rapey. Kind of rapey now that I think about it. Kind of rapey. Big fan of Billy Ocean. Carol Man Queen. Now we're sharing the same dream. But get out
of... Here we go. All right. When I was getting my driver's test...
Wait, hold a second. Welcome back to Papa Williams' Wisdom.
A child arrived.
Right. Food for thought from Brad Williams' father.
Bring it down just a little bit, but just keep it low. There you go. My dad said on my 16th birthday when I was taking my driver's test, we were at the DMV, and there was a security guard. Now, the car in front of me had pulled up about 7 feet. And I was just sitting there, because that's what you do. You just stay there, because my car's off. I'm waiting. My dad looks at that little security guard and says, son, that guy's going to come over here and tell us to pull our car up 3 feet. And I say, well, why the fuck would he do that? That's pointless. Why, it means nothing to pull up 3 feet. He says, son, watch. And the guy walks up and he says, oh, excuse me, sir. So I'm going to need you to pull your car forward about 3 feet there, sir. About 3 feet. Had to turn on the car.
It's the guy
pull
Brian
forward.
Regan.
You too. You too. Yeah, and the guy, just like my dad said, comes up and makes me pull up 3 feet. I go, Dad, how the hell did you know that? And he says, son, because that man is a loser. And this is the only little authority that he has in his life.
Wow.
So he's expressing that. And he found he has to justify his worth of being on this planet.
Wow.
So he's going to tell anyone to do any little thing just to be like, yeah, yeah, without me, he wouldn't have pulled up 3 feet. And then the line would just be out the back of the DMV, cause accidents,
totally.
Anarchy. I'm a world savior. And this is the same shit with the people at TSA. Because guess what? If you're the TSA, that means you probably flunked the cop test. You know what I mean? No one's going, I'm dreaming of the TSA. No, they're dreaming of catching the bad guys with little bad boys playing in the background and taking out a meth lab. That's what people dream about. They want to be the man. They don't want to be TSA. Stop little 4 foot nothing Brad Williams from getting on his flight. No one wants to do that, but except for someone that may have failed a bit at life. So they're just sitting there going, I can't fuck with anyone. No, this is perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect. Oh, wait! A Brad wants to get on the plane when their ID says Bradley? Sound the alarm! 9/11 is happening again! Someone stop this midget!
This has been Papa Williams' wisdom. Food for thought from Brad Williams' father.
Sweet Jesus.
Dude, you're totally right, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, and on the flip side, like, what do you... You should think that even jobs like that, that don't require much authority, where it's just like, hey, like bouncers. Dude.
Yeah.
Look at the ID, make sure the birthday.
Right.
Do simple math from the birthday. All you have to do as a bouncer is fucking, know what day it is.
Yeah.
And be able to subtract
21 from that.
Yes.
That's it.
That's all you have to do.
That's
and
it.
Then let people in. And then occasionally, if there's, you know, a scuffle or some shenanigans that are, you know, inappropriate.
Sure.
Then, hey, step in and use your size and,
do your thing.
Intimidating goatee that you are holding on to because you wanted to be in a boy band in 1998, but the other three members thought you were too big. And they're like, dude, no boy band has a 6'8 drummer. Fucking go back to Shakey's and serve pizza and salad at 3 in the afternoon to people in wheelchairs. Now, I don't know. I kind of feel bad for like, you know, your dad's right, though. That guy, like, that's his moment to be like, hey,
he's now justifying his self-worth.
Totally.
Dick, are you still listening to the Blank in Paris song? Yeah, I can hear that.
Enough with the rap. Enough with the rap. Turn it down over there. Jesus Christ.
Crazy kids.
Trying to have a podcast over here.
Get off my lawn. But yeah, and it, like, there are a few times in life where I can look at someone and go, you know what, if you spontaneously combusted at this moment and just blew up, I would feel no shame and nothing whatsoever. And that was one of those moments today when I just looked at that woman like, really, you're that bored. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You think that the terrorists are coming? You think that the terrorists are going to send a midget on and be like, don't worry, here's what we're going to do. The ID, say Bradley, because that's his real name. But we call him on as Brad. They never know. You really think I'm going to take down the plane?
But Brad and Bradley are not so far away from each other for them to differentiate that he may not be that Brad and Bradley are the same person.
They are very stupid American. They do not know this. No, not unless there is a strange rogue TSA agent that will magically know the difference between Brad and Bradley. Otherwise, our plan is perfect. It is perfect. Perfect.
What about Jim and Jimmy, Fred and Freddy, Scott and Scotty?
When did you go 7-Eleven, India?
Dave and Davey.
I'm going Muslim. I'm going like
Dave
terrorist.
Dave and Davey.
You're going Ted Apu Nahasa Peter Petalon.
Hey, dude. That's a.
I thought I can't do impressions.
That's the only likable terrorist voice you can do is Apu from The Simpsons.
It's not even terrorist voice. That's Indian.
I know.
Because the Indian voice is sounded like this.
Oh, now I can't go to the terrorist voice because now I'm locked into that.
Wow,
shit.
Yeah, see?
It's tough to do.
Dude, we are going to take down the Americans one building at a time. And then, but by the way, if you would like one of the magazines from behind the counter, you need to ask me to get the key.
All I'm saying saying is that they wouldn't send a midget to do a suicide bombing, because if a midget blows himself up, that's not going to do much damage. It's going to be like,
has there ever been a midget suicide bomber?
No, because it wouldn't be a bomber. It would be a little bottle rocket going off. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
you'd be
in the backpack, and they would just take the backpack off and leave you somewhere. That is dangerous.
It'd be a sparkler. That's all I would be.
A sparkler.
Nothing. I couldn't take down the damn plane.
Speaking of fireworks, there were no fireworks this past weekend when I did a birthday party show.
Uh-oh.
We get to do shows that aren't in comedy clubs sometimes.
People
come to shows, they go, you're a comedian, I'm doing a party. They go, could you do like, it's like my friend's, 70th birthday, can you do like 20 minutes? I'll give you like, what's your quote? And you're like, ooh, fucking blah, blah, blah. And they go,
totally,
that's fine.
Yeah, you totally overshoot the price. You're like, I don't want to do this gig.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be hell.
Parties are usually not, the people just don't make it conducive for comedy. I heard Dan Cook tell some story about doing a party, and they kept upping the money, so we finally did it, but he was like, dude, it was awful. He's like, it was like people were drunk, it was like they weren't paying attention. Like, so this party was in Manhattan Beach for a company that makes shoes, and it was great. It was the guy's 50th birthday party.
Makes shoes? Do we know the company?
Yes, but I'm not going to say them.
Because you want some free shoes?
Yes.
Okay.
dude, it was a guy's party, and there were a lot of people there who hadn't seen each other for a while. So there's a lot of talk. First of all, if you're going to have any show, a bar cannot be like feet, like 5 to 10 feet away from where there's no stage, just a microphone, standing in front of a room.
Yeah.
The guy running it goes, so I'm thinking, all right, so we're going to have dinner and then do the show. He goes, no, I'm going to have you guys go up, myself and Jody Miller. He goes, you guys go up while people are eating, because they'll eat, laugh, and listen at the same time. And I go, sorry, buddy, that's not how that works.
No, they don't.
People don't eat and laugh or listen. They eat and then maybe have small talk with their friends. Nobody wants to have a mouthful of food while they're laughing. It's just, you can't do both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, that's why food is served before the shows at comedy clubs. Anyway, so Jody's up there, not doing well. There's so much chatter. Dude, and like I was saying earlier, there's shows where you feel like you can... You're like, all right, I'm good enough at this point. I can handle anything. I'm going to be able to make something out of nothing.
Sure.
I see an Asian dude and a woman who aren't really even listening, and it's so loud they can't even hear, like making faces to each other like, oh, God. And like the woman starts doing fake stabbing into her heart with a fake knife. Dude, how many times do you do the fake stab into your own heart? Let alone and be serious about it. And she's like, first of all, like, especially with just all the other ways to kill yourself, who's fake killing themselves with like, I have a dagger. Really? What was your dad in, what was your dad, What was your dad?
Come on, improv brain, pull something.
What was your dad? Fucking Magellan? No. What was your dad? What was the sword in the stone based on your dad? All right. So she shoves the fake sword into her heart.
Yeah.
Asian dude's just like making faces. So I walk over to them because I have a couple of drinks and I'm now getting defensive for my fellow comedian.
Absolutely.
And I go, hey, well, you guys, it's terrible, huh? And he goes, oh my God. He goes, so bad. I go, yeah, It's kind of weird that you can tell it's bad and you can't even hear it, right? And he's like, I know, right? I was like, dude, you realize that doesn't make any sense,
yeah.
right? I go, I got to go up next and I don't know how I'm going to follow this. And I go, and geez, the fake knife into the heart? I go, you must really be having a bad time. She goes, what is going on right now? I go, I don't know, but I haven't seen the fake knife into the heart for a while. I go, you really like, I go, I was observing you do it from over there, and I go, I'm starting to wonder that maybe if it's not just a show that's making you want to fake kill yourself with a knife. I go, what's going on with you right now? And she goes, what?
You're trying to, like, Dr. Drew the bitch?
Dude, I got so defensive, man, that I just started like...
But of course you do, because...
And then I go up next, and I immediately laid into the Asian dude, and people started laughing, because I was like, you know what it's like, man. And you also just know that, like, when things aren't conducive for comedy... No stage is one thing, and then I thought, lesson learned. Next time I do one of these shows, I'm gonna like find whoever's in charge and be like, "Yo, we need this, we need this.
Yeah.
We can't go up when the food's happening. You got to tell everybody at the bar." Nobody at the bar at one point told anybody to be quiet. I was walking around trying to shush, but I'm like, "That's not my job."
Yeah.
And then when they tried to make speeches for the guy, everyone started being like, "Shush and quiet, everything."
Well, because this is important,
and people still weren't even being quiet for that.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, just a lot of people, I guess, came for free food and booze and.
Well, the thing about comedy that people who aren't in it don't realize is that there is an environment that is optimal for comedy. And it's not hard to do. It's not hard to set up something to where people are in a good place to enjoy comedy. But people think, okay, he's a comedian. It's his job to win over everyone. Yeah, but we do need a little bit of help. Just a stage, something that that raises us up so we can be seen, not just saying that as a midget, because obviously if I'm standing there, then no one's looking at me.
Right.
But then a microphone so we can amplify our voice. Then everyone looking at us. Then also everyone knowing that there is a comedy show.
Yeah,
and that they're anticipating a comedy show. Because if you're not anticipating a comedy show, you're having your normal dinner party, talking about the Lakers, talking about whatever the hell else is
your
happening in your life.
Also, people, if they're not in the mood for it, some people just think, if it's not set up to see, like, you walk up on a stage and there's all this stuff, people won't take it seriously.
You're
just walking out. I felt like I was making announcements. That's what I was doing. I had a mic, and it was like, hey, excuse me. So the sushi and the shrimp just came out. The steak will be out soon. If you guys want mashed potatoes or baked potatoes, tell Jared. He's in the back.
And by the way, two Jews walk into a bar.
What's the difference between, you know?
Yeah. That's not conducive to comedy. So how did you do?
Came out right off the bat firing, just like big energy. I said something about the Asian guy. Then the only black guy in the whole place who was a waiter walks by me. I go, thanks to one Asian guy, blah, 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 on the back. And then the black guy walks by me. I go, nice to see you guys from the one black guy in Manhattan Beach. Giant eruption of laughter.
Sure.
Because they're
white.
Rich and white, and they're like, yeah.
We don't know any minorities.
Continue to comment on the color of his skin. But then I just stopped that because I was like, I'm not going down that road.
Right.
That's not me.
Sure.
I start trying to do jokes. A few of them go. I start making up facts about the guy. I pulled up his Wikipedia page, you know, the president of this company. I start making up facts. They're laughing at some of that. And then heads start to turn. So I pause for a minute and I just go, as the noise gets to a point to where it's so loud, I just go, I stop and I look around and I just let the noise happen. I turn around and see the hot girl waitresses watching, and I look at them and I'm like, I turn back to the crowd, I go, you guys think this is bad for you right now? I go, I usually do this in clubs where people come and enjoy themselves. I go, and guess what? I go, you guys want this to be over? I want it to be over too, but I'm not getting off this fucking floor until you guys laugh at two jokes in a row. And then they kind of whatever, and I go, I go, and guess what? Yeah, if you're wondering, yes, this will be my last night of comedy. Thanks for being a part of it. And then I went into the crowd and I started talking to people who had their backs turned to me. So I started asking them.
Nice.
And
bring
that started
back
getting people's attention. And then there's a woman who said she crashed the party, and I started laying on her. She had like a weird French accent. I pulled the son up, who was like 17, and I go, asking him about which one of these women he wanted to sleep with. And he wanted the weird, creepy French woman who I said sounded like a diehard villain. And I started doing some of that. That got some good reactions. And then another guy in the corner, I go, what did you do today, sir? And he goes, pizza. And I go,
he fucked a pizza?
Yeah. And then I go. My second question is, where do you get your weed from? That I say, what did you do today? And you just say pizza. And then I go, do you deliver pizza? I go, because, you know, you always wonder at parties like this, a lot of people have money. There's always a few people that aren't on the same level financially. Maybe you're the one guy at this party who works at Domino's, and that's fine. And then crowd like that, and that got their attention, and then tried to go back into some jokes. And then, dude, the amount of noise just was
– Yeah.
And you stop at one point, and it makes you rethink – like, you're starting to think about your bits. You're like, God, is that – like, because we don't go through those situations very much anymore. I mean, you know,
You get to a certain level, and you go to comedy clubs. And comedy clubs are designed to hear comedy.
It's still on you. But, like, dude, we all three of us in this room have enough material that we won't bomb.
Right.
Unless the situation is so not in your favor, you know,
like that.
It was very humbling.
But that's
I didn't
also
even care about getting paid at that point. Because, honestly, I started feeling bad. I was like, God, I feel bad that this guy isn't getting a good show for his birthday.
Sure.
I feel bad that I'm not able to do what I do to the full potential.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, man. It's like, you know, Derek Jeter. Like, yeah, you want him to get singles and home runs, make plays. Dude, if you're throwing snowballs at him the whole time he's playing, or you turn the lights off in the stadium, and then you're like, dude, how come he didn't get 3,000 hits tonight?
Right.
Like, he was trying to go for the record. And or he, you know,
What's another example? Maybe Prince is trying to perform for some underprivileged kids.
And you give him a harmonica and
you
say,
give him a mic that doesn't work and, you have him, you know, do
and
it in a room.
Only a 2-inch heel, because everyone knows Prince requires at least a 5-inch heel.
Who's taller, Prince or you?
Prince by 4 or 5 inches.
That is a picture I want. Actually, you know what? I want a cardboard cutout of Prince holding up bread. Like, how do we make that happen? You know, how do we get Prince on the podcast?
No. We just want the cardboard cutout.
Hey, did you watch the Oscars last night?
I did watch the Oscars. The second half of it. The first part of it, I was doing a show. Dick, are we taking a break at all today? We are? Okay. During the second half of the show, I'll describe that at my show Sunday night, a guy actually proposed to his girlfriend.
Whoa.
On stage. That's a little teaser.
Teaser
for you.
This is pretty...
What the fuck was
Jesus
that, Dick?
Get out!
Oh, are you doing the You Shall Not Pass? Wow, that's only 20 minutes late.
Yeah, Jesus, way to be fucking topical.
Why are you doing Dick? Oh, it's a techno. Okay.
That's the song you're going to the break with? Can you find me some Billy Ocean? Find me Caribbean Queen, please. I swear to God.
Well,
Proposing in a show is a genius idea, because there's a lot of creative ways, and I'm sure we all think about the way we would do it.
Sure.
Which brings me to my next point, Brad.
Yeah.
We've been friends a long time now. But like, you see the way
it's not legal here yet, but damn it, we can try.
But you see dude, there's some incredible videos of proposals online.
Yeah.
That are really just mind blowing, and I don't know. I mean, do you think about like what? Obviously, we don't want to blow our cover here because, but it's not happening in the near future for any of us. I don't think, right?
Nope.
Diamond Vision. People do that.
Diamond.
At a baseball game.
Oh yeah.
I think that seems like lazy to me. Because
it does.
You're basically doing it on a big scale in front of people. Some people just think if I do it in front of hundreds of thousands of people, it's romantic. No, dude.
No.
Romantic is thought and creativity. Like something that she doesn't expect that takes obvious effort.
Right. Because
you called the fucking stadium and said, put her name on the screen.
And say, will you marry me? And then you just turn to her and go, huh? that's all the effort that is required of you. Yeah. One phone call and a, huh?
Eh?
That's it.
Yeah.
So you got to do something a little more. And
like maybe have her kidnapped.
Absolutely.
And taken into a hot air balloon.
Oh, that'd be great.
And flown across the Pacific Ocean to a small island where they hold a gun to her head and say, and then you're the guy who walks in the dark.
And the cast of Lost is surrounding her.
And she's on the ground,
island.
And they've like, you know, they've maybe like given her some NyQuil in the hot air balloon ride, so she is passed out. And then she wakes up with a gun to her head and all guns to her head. And then you walk out of the back and you pull a mask off and you just get down on one knee and you go, will you marry me?
She's so confused.
Yeah, turn it up. I don't know why you're turning it up and then turning it down.
Yeah.
Dick, I swear to God, today is like you're this close to being fired.
You're off, Dick. You're off. You're a soft Dick today.
Do we have to take a break?
Well, at some point.
All right, at some point. I'll keep going for a while.
Turn up the Billy Ocean for me. Here's a guy. Now, hey, maybe you get Billy Ocean. See, now that's romantic. You get a guy from the 80s who is known for love songs.
Yeah.
And who's probably like, you know, you might think he's easy to get. You just Google Billy Ocean, or maybe you fucking like, maybe you, you know, go to the Caribbean and fucking hold up a Queen of Hearts and you think he's going to appear. That's not what happens.
Yeah, you get yourself a Billy Ocean, you get yourself a Rick Astley.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. You know? Maybe both of them.
Oh.
Never going to give you up out of my dreams. Whoa. Never going to let you down into my heart. How do we get Billy Ocean and Rick Astley to do a combo show? Hey, Backstreet Boys and New Kids did it.
They did.
Which, by the way, Dick, turn down for a minute. Thank you. I'm going to just make this point before we take a break. Mm-hmm. Reunion tours is staying relevant in the music business, so hard. That's why
Absolutely.
You see these guys, Backstreet Boys and New Kids, you can't really hate on them for getting together and being like, yo, I got a house to pay for.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When they performed...
Got a couple illegitimate kids. I got some weird colored glasses I don't really need,
sure.
But I got to pay for those.
Yeah. I bought a lot of, you know, really fancy mopeds when I Want It That Way came out that I thought... I invested in this fucking weird frozen yogurt, you know, iced tea company that I thought was going to take off. But like when they get together, it's basically to be like, hey, remember, I mean, it's set. Here's the thing.
Remember junior high.
Dude, New Kids and Backstreet Boys basically got together so women in their 40s had something to masturbate to.
Sure.
But that show at the American Music Awards was, dude, it was like watching dads in their 60s at a wedding dance. I'm like, dude, I can do those moves. Like, they're up there, and they're just like, you know, they're singing I Want It That Way and Step by Step, but they might as well have been singing, remember these moves 20 years ago. You loved us when we did these moves.
And you know the four tops are sitting there going, we're 80 and we could do that shit.
Yeah, dude. That's what they're basically doing. They're doing the side steps and then every now and then you see them making a face of like, ooh, and you're like, all right, they're feeling it. It's like, nope, that's just their arthritis kicking in.
Yeah, they're older.
Yeah, they've got the sciatic nerve just got pinched. But like, and that's why I get so pissed off at like young artists, like storytellers. VH1 Storytellers is one of the coolest shows ever because you get to see like these raw, the stories like from musicians who are legends, who have been around, well-traveled.
Bruce Springsteen comes on. Now, when I wrote Thunder Road, I was thinking about a road out there in New Jersey, a place where good, hard Americans can go to work, come home, leave the doors unlocked on day. That's what I was thinking about. And you're like, oh, right.
Yeah, you're like, I want to hear this song. Yeah, I didn't know that song was all that had that backstory. Yeah. Then you get Taylor Swift being like, so remember in high school when there was that boy you liked and he didn't know you liked him and then your best friend Chrissy told him that you liked him? Remember that? 2, 3, 4. I had a crush on you. You didn't know that I do. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, because like before he goes in the Jeremy, you know, he just goes in this long thing about.
We were in Wisconsin. And I don't know why he sounds like Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. And we were in the Caribbean, me and Jeffrey Rush. And I was in a film called Chocolat. Anyway, I speak like I have an accent, but I was in Finding Neverland and Alice in Wonderland. Anyway, we were in the Caribbean, and before we made Pirates of the. Trying to find the Black Pearl, and we found a bunch of women. We raped and pillaged them. 2, 3, 4. That would be, I guess, his storytellers.
But Pearl Jam, when they do theirs about Jeremy, they go, you know, I read this article about a boy who committed suicide in front of his entire class, and I didn't want that to happen anymore. So I thought if I spread the word, get a song out there about pain.
What song is that?
That's Jeremy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought the song.
Dick, what the fuck are you doing?
Dick, you're all over the place, man. You're starting and stopping sound clips.
Do you have, like, Asperger's today? Like, is it, like, momentary Asperger's?
Yeah, let's just...
What's happening with you?
I'm playing all this shit off YouTube. YouTube's got commercials. They got weird things. Okay. The videos have intros
I don't have
any way to listen before I play it. So I'm trying to wait for the little pauses. I'm trying to have comedic timing, and the YouTube fucks it up.
You're good.
I'm trying to help you guys.
All right.
That was Dick, and this will be his last day as sound engineer for the About Last Night podcast.
We're taking applications.
We're going back to get...
There's Jeremy.
Dude, I thought Jeremy...
30 seconds in.
30 seconds in it started that?
I thought Jeremy was about Jeremy, Ben Silverman's character from Growing Pains.
All right.
At home, perfect timing.
See, that's a fucking song. And now our guest finally shows up.
Dude.
But, all right. Here's what's going
to
happen.
It's a perfect time to take a break.
This is Jeremy. We're going to take a quick break, come back with the proposal story that happened on my show, and our guest, Joey Medina, is here.
Joey Medina!
All coming up on the About Last Night show.
Buckstar here, Greg Seitz, whatever my name is, Greg Buckstar Seitz, CEO of GoCast Network.
And I'm Gary Garver, formerly of Oh, I don't even want to mention that asshole's name. From the GoCast Network, program director of the GoCast Network.
Weren't you on Journey?
Yeah, that was it. Sammy Hagar, they say.
Sammy Hagar. And you know what? We got some sick new technology. You can check us out with Viddy.
What the hell's Viddy, Greg? I have no idea what that is.
Viddy is Instagram, Twitter combined for a great 15-second video experience where you'll see awesome clips and fun stuff.
Wow, I can't wait to check that out. Where do we go?
Viddy.com? I think so.
Okay, cool.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', head knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
What's up, guys? This is Danny Trejo, and I want to tell you about the best restaurant in Southern California, The Second Floor in Huntington Beach. The Second Floor is a one-of-a-kind tattoo and cutting-edge art bar. The food is amazing. Try our Rockin' Nachos, the Sliders, or the Monster Colossal Burgers, or my favorite, the Trejo's Taco. Second Floor. I'll see you there.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item, and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network? Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link, click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
And welcome back to the About Last Night show. I'm here with my co-host again, Adam Ray. And then our guest, who showed up?
Yes.
44 minutes late.
No, it's fine. I'm so sorry.
But it's fine, man. It's fine. Latino King of Comedy.
Yes.
Joey Medina is here.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, man. Yeah, again, I apologize for being so late.
It's all right, man. You know, I told you 3 o'clock. I forgot to factor in the Latino time. I forgot to do it.
Dude, I don't know what was
happening. Should have told you, too.
And the thing was, I wasn't doing shit all day, you know? Like, I don't know.
What's a Monday like for you these days?
Well, it depends. But today I was playing Modern Warfare 3.
Yes. Are you a big gamer?
No, not really, man. But I love those kind of games, like the shooter games.
Not really. Just Monday, I like to maybe shoot fake people in a basement.
No, you know what it was? My girl left. She went to somewhere, and I go, I got time. I go, okay, I can either jerk off or play video games.
Dude, isn't that? Yeah. So, those are really the. Yes. What else are you going to do by yourself? Meditate at this point?
So I did both. It was great.
Yeah. Wow.
The joystick in one hand, my cock in the other.
I hope you had the headset on talking shit to 12-year-olds as you're jerking.
Yo, sometimes you're playing Duck Hunt and the gun's not working. You gotta take those suckers out.
The kid's
out.
Like, hey, dude, are you out of breath? Like, oh, no, I'm just.
Wait, do you play online with a headset?
No, you know what? I've never done that yet. I've never played online.
I've only done it once, and you don't. As a man, I'm a 29-year-old man. And when a 12-year-old talks shit to you, and can back it up,
right.
Like, and can back it up, and then like you get yourself in this mental state where like, oh, I'm gonna fuck this kid up, and you go, Jesus, what am I saying? Like, you're
because there's some kids that come with like really well thought out insults. They don't just say like, suck my dick, motherfucker. They're like, I bet your parents didn't love you. You're like, what? Shit, dude. Were you looking at my Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
See, I can't do that. I couldn't handle that shit. That's too hard for me.
Right. So yeah, that's why I don't do it. I don't need some guy going, wait, so you're 29 and you're at home?
Yeah.
Loser.
Yeah, because 29, by the way, to a 12-year-old is like, you know,
that's
60.
Ancient. Oh, yeah. So
he's like, why aren't you dead yet? Like, yeah.
I remember one time I was dating a girl. I was young. I think I was maybe 17 something. She was 16. Mm-hmm. And we were talking. She said, she goes, I slept with a 32-year-old guy once.
Jesus.
And I remember thinking, 32? That's so fucking old.
Right. Now the fact that you're past there, right?
Way past.
Yeah, and I'm 29, I'm 30. Now we look at that situation and look back and go, wait, what the fuck? A 32-year-old was having sex with a 16-year-old?
Yeah, no. That sounds insane.
Like, that's what we look back on going, no. Right. I hang out with 20-year-olds and I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I can't.
Dude, that's like a 15-year-old kid going up to a parent being like, look, when that daughter of yours comes out of your stomach, I would like to take her out. I don't know what her plans are. Yeah, okay, so you grew up in New York.
I grew up in the Bronx. Yeah, I grew up in the Bronx.
You were part of the original Latin Kings of Comedy.
Yeah, which was actually really, really great, man. Just, you know, like, starting up...
Who was that group with you?
That was Paul Rodriguez, Cheech Marin, George Lopez.
Yo, that's kind of prestigious group
people. It was really good. And you know what's funny? This was before the George Lopez show, so George was real popular with the Latin people, but nobody else knew who he was.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he was still popular there. And then the George Lopez show happened right after that. Actually, I'm probably the poorest one out of all of them. But just to work with guys that I admired, you know, first starting doing stand-up and hanging out with them.
They have years experience on you.
Way years, yeah. I mean, I've been doing comedy 20 years. Those guys have been doing probably... 30, you know.
So 40. You were looking up to them and maybe influenced by them to get into comedy.
Well, absolutely, absolutely.
And how do you end up on a tour with them?
It was just really weird. Paul Rodriguez, actually, I'll make the story short, he ended up working in Tucson, Arizona. That's where I was living at the time, and I started doing stand-up. I ended up working with him, and I knew his manager at the time, who was Scott Montoya, and then when I moved to L.A., Scott asked if he could represent me, and I'm like, fuck yeah, I have nobody.
So
we ended up just touring a lot together. Then the Kings of Comedy did their thing.
Right.
And then
Cedric, D.L., all the guys. Bernie Mac,
And then, you know, he's like, hey, why don't we do a Latin version? So, they, you know, we ended up planning to do it, and then they hooked up with Paramount, who did the original Kings of Comedy, and it became official. It was the original Latin Kings of Comedy, and it was a great experience, man. And, you know, the good thing about that is comics, you guys know, is when you do something huge, especially at the time, all of a sudden, the same jokes you were making X amount of money, now you're making way more money for the same shit.
Yeah. Right. You're like, I didn't get funnier over the course of two weeks. That didn't happen.
But you know those, I kind of almost had to get funnier, only because I remember thinking to myself, there's going to be a lot of haters.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of comics out there, especially Latin comics, that think, oh, why him? He don't deserve it, this and that. Mm-hmm. So I remember telling myself, I'm going to push the game up. And I did. It was just like, it's almost just like in boxing. I'm like, okay, this guy is going to be really tough. I'm going to fight. I've got to train extra.
Because you used to box.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
100 pounds ago, but yes. I did. I remember really pushing myself even more and more, trying to get better and more and more original and you know, whatever. So it helped me in a lot of ways.
And competition does breed success when you are looking around at other comics and seeing what they're doing. Like, I know if ever I start feeling comfortable with my set, thinking I'm hot shit, I'll put in a Bill Burr DVD and just go, fuck, I suck.
Bring yourself back down.
Yeah, I am terrible. When I was on the road with Carlos Mencia, a lot more experience than me, and just, like, killing it, had just gotten a standing ovation on The Tonight Show, and I had to follow that. And my stand-up got so much better on that tour, having to go on after Joe Coy going, dude, like, if I go up and do my standard stuff, I'm a bomb every damn night. So I had to come up with something.
Yeah, and even though you're not, like, overnight being like, all right, I got to bring it, like, not just saying that is going to make you, like, kill it, but, like, just going through the experience of seeing that, like, wow, there's a different level I need to get to.
Yeah.
And you just have to buckle down harder. You're probably writing a lot more. We're probably a lot more cautious of just, like, being sharp with all your material, right?
Absolutely. And now, when you were on that tour, what was it? Because like Cheech, George, Paul, those are some massive guys. Like, who closed?
Well, Paul always closed.
Okay,
Paul always closed. The only time it didn't close was we did the Apollo in New York.
Oh shit!
Oh, wow.
And we did two shows. Yeah, we were really nervous, but it was a huge thing, and we sold out two shows.
Nice.
And the second show I closed because the promoter wanted me to close only because I know this is why, was because in New York, there's no Mexicans. It's just Puerto Ricans and Dominicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. At first, we thought it was just black audience, but they were just Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, which are just basically black people that speak Spanish.
Yeah. So he's like, wait, he's black, but the thing was, he can hit a baseball really far.
But I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican. So they weren't... my stuff was working better than Paul's, I think, just for that particular crowd. Mm-hmm. Because I was doing a lot of New York stuff. I was doing stuff about living there. And this, and so they asked Paul, actually, go, hey, do you mind if Joey Medina closes his next show? And he's like, you know, it's okay. I don't mind. So, you know, so I closed, which I was very nervous because sure. I know Paul actually toured. Like, he gave a little extra. And he did long. He did like a fucking almost an hour.
Oh, of course he did.
And like, he wasn't supposed to.
Prove
like,
himself.
Yeah. I was like, this
well,
fucker.
Because no comic likes to, because no matter how you dressed up, like, hey, hometown audience, this is his crowd. What they're still essentially saying is, this guy tonight is going to be funnier than you.
Yeah, yeah.
We believe he's funnier than you.
And Paul's got an ego, trust me.
Oh, well, we matter all fact, do, but yeah.
But when we were flying to New York during that same tour, was I remember I was in first class and he was in business and he was fucking pissed. Mm. And I had to talk to the flight attendant to say, hey, you know, it's Paul Rodriguez, could you let him up?
Yeah, yeah.
And she let him up. But yeah, he was pissed. And I'm like, fuck, he's going to take this out on me. I just know it. Because he's crazy. He's fucking nuts. I love him, but he's nuts.
Sure. Well, and then when you guys toured together, was it a bus tour? Was it
no, thank
fly,
God.
Fly home?
We did a couple bus things, but only like, you know, like Vegas, Tahoe or Reno, some shit like that.
Stuff, yeah. That was all.
But it was really cool. It was a great thing. You know, Mencia was actually part of it in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that was great, too. And, mm-hmm. you know, just working with guys who are amazing. And when he was part of it, we actually did the Shoreline Theater.
The Shoreline Amphitheater,
which is a gazillion seats.
San Jose, 22,000 people. I've played it,
and it's fucking. It's literally playing like in a baseball stadium. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like you could hear yourself. You say something, you could hear it all the way. You know, like a second later.
Yeah. Back. So there were people sitting up on the hill,
up on the lawn, incredible. And
we did the Arco Arena together, all of us too.
Oh, been 10,000 Sacramento, seats. Yeah.
So it was fucking great.
And the thing is, I mean, when I was opening for Mencia, I would do those types of venues with him, is your jokes at a certain level, you don't, like, you're like, all right, this is my 7-minute set, or this is my 10-minute set. But in that arena or in those theaters, your 10-minute set would last you 20 minutes.
Yeah,
just because the laughs are so there, like so applause breaks and echoes, and you have to wait for that applause to come down just so they can hear the next joke, and it really throws off your timing at first. You're like, oh man, and you also have to know how to play to that audience.
Yeah, it's a different pace. It's a great pace. It's you can't really go wrong, but it's a great pace.
Yeah.
You know, I tour a lot with Russell Peters too, and all nice. He does is arenas. Yeah. You know
oh
what I mean?
Oh my god.
So it's Beast. We did 13,000 in Australia. Jesus. That was fucking amazing.
What, now 13,000 versus, I mean, because more often these theaters are what, like, it's like 700 to 1,000 maybe? Or
yeah, theaters, yeah. So but luckily, Russell really does arenas.
Yeah, he does arenas.
He does arenas. He does
what is 13,000? I mean, talk about the waiting for the laughs and just like having your time be extended because of pauses and whatnot, but is 13,000 just a whole another game?
It's a different pace, yeah. It's just a different pace. But it's just the energy is fucking amazing. Yeah, you want to get off and go, this is fucking awesome.
So you're right. I mean, you're. Do you feel like you're that much more into every one of your bits because of the energy around you and just all the...
yeah.
Because obviously, you know, we feed off that.
And then, you know, and the thing is, the good thing is everybody really gets a good look at you. So if you got... Because there's huge monitors.
Yeah.
So if you got facial expressions... you milk them even more.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So it's actually turns out real well.
That's awesome, man.
What are the Australian audiences like? They love
American comedy. You know, the Australian audiences are basically fucking, they're Indian, they're Asian, they're, you know, when I went to Australia, I thought everybody was going to be blonde and fucking surfer looking dude.
Like, dude, you know Pauly Shore, right?
They were just fucking everybody else.
Wow.
Everybody else. They were just fucking everybody else.
So Australia is the island of misfit toys.
Yeah. If someone just dropped, closed your eyes and dropped you off there, and you wouldn't know where the fuck you were. You were like in Seattle. I don't know what the fuck this is. It just looked like everybody else. But when I went like Singapore, those places, that's the shit.
Wow.
You guys, that's the fucking
really?
Shit.
Why?
Singapore.
Because, for the chicks. But no, but the place is just fucking amazing, dude. It is the most beautiful, nicest fucking place I've ever been to in my life. Like that whole region.
Yeah.
I'm going back next, actually in 2 weeks.
Oh, jeez.
2 weeks.
Are they
going with Russell again?
No, this one's on my tour. I was really lucky.
Really?
They liked me enough that they said, we're going to bring you back. And I was like, yeah, I didn't believe it. Then about a couple of months ago, they sent me an email, go, hey, we'd love to bring you back. So I'm going to do 2 theaters and the rest of comedy clubs there.
Dude, and see, there's one of the huge benefits of traveling with a guy that's got so much clout, right? That is bringing out audiences like that in places where you can crush it yourself, and then they're like, well, shit, why don't
I bring you back at one-ninth
of the price?
Yes, of course. Yes, trust me. I actually, I got paid more working with Russell, opening for him, than I am headlining myself. But hey, dude, you know, honestly, if they would have said, look, we'll just give you a per diem and a flight, I'm like, okay, I'll fucking still do it. Because it was so amazing, dude. The audiences there are great. Everyone speaks perfect fucking English. Wow. You know what I mean? And it's just seafood is awesome.
Because, like, Australia, I would think, okay, the language barrier wouldn't be too much of an issue, but Singapore, it's China. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But everyone spoke English there?
Everyone spoke English. Now, this time I'm going also to Vietnam, which I've never been to. So I'm a little nervous about that.
Do you cater your material, or is it already pretty much set up for?
No, I cater a little bit to them. Like, for instance, great thing. Like in Singapore, chewing gum is illegal, and so is porn. So I told them, I said, if someone was smart, they would make a porn featuring gum called Young, Dumb, and Full of Gum. You know, so, shit like that. So I just write shit.
A Point Break reference. Yes. I got that, dude.
So it
I'm impressed that you do that, though, because you can't just go into any situation and be like, I'm funny, I'm a comic. My shit works everywhere. Like, you got to kind of adjust.
No, you can't.
Right?
When I did England on my own, too, and they were like, hey, you know, we don't really have any Latin people here. I'm like, I don't do Latin shit, dude. It's cool.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm all right.
Funny's funny. But at the same time, you understand and you make those adjustments. I feel terrible because you just got here.
Wow, now, is there another show after this I can stay, hang around?
Yeah. But, Joey, you know what? We're definitely going to have you back.
Yeah, come back. Come back after Singapore and tell us all the
details. Yeah.
Cool.
Let's do that.
Tell us how the shows were. Tell us how the ointments are going after all the shit you brought back.
Tell us about the whorehouses.
Yes.
Joey Medina's got a very good podcast called The Joey Medina Podcast.
Yes, The Joey Medina Show.
The Joey Medina Show. Find it on iTunes. Follow Joey on Twitter. Joey Medina Comic.
Joey Medina Comic.
Yes, at Joey Medina Comic. Adam.
Find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my videos at AdamRayTV.com. We'll be at the American Comedy Company in San Diego this weekend with Adam Devine, Thursday through Sunday, and the Parlor Live at the end of March in Seattle.
Perfect. Yeah. And BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Got shows coming up this week in Syracuse at the Funny Bone. Next week at Joey's Comedy Club in Livonia, Michigan. And all of the dates are posted on my website. For Joey Medina, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. This has been the About Last Night Show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item, and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network? Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link. Click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.